All right. Now, you know, it is Election Tuesday here in Illinois, and Senator Dan Coats, now he's from Indiana, so he gets to relax. He gets to just breathe. He doesn't have to worry about anything. He sits around. He watches all the goofiness that's happening in his neighbor to the west. But you got a horse in this race for the Illinois primary, don't you, Senator?
Well, you know, when you were talking about the Blackhawks, it reminded me of my college days. We would hustle down to the old Chicago Stadium, pay $2, run up the ramps with our textbooks because we had to get open at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. We would be in the second balcony looking almost straight down at the goal. It was unbelievable. And then we would try to study for 2 hours until the game started. I've had spent a lot of time in that old stadium, and brings back a lot of memories.
That place was something. And, you know, it from the time the first circus was there, it never stopped smelling like elephant poop in that building. That is the way it was. But what a great place to see fights and a hockey game intermittently between the fights in the stands. That was something.
And speaking of elephant poop, how about that GOP race?
Well, that's, what a segue that is.
I mean, there you go.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. We've never experienced anything like this, so you can't base your predictions on conventional wisdom. Oh, hey, we've been through this before. This is all new stuff here, and it's exciting. It's entertaining. Whether it's good for the country or not, I don't know yet. It's a puzzle every day.
Yeah, the answer to that is no. By the way, in case you're looking for the answer to that, that is the correct answer. I don't think that this necessarily is, because what I think is lost in all of this, and I think this is true, not just of the Trump campaign. I think that even the Sanders campaign, and with all due respect to the senator, he was just on with us a few minutes ago, and we appreciate his time. But no one is being held on detail to anything anymore, right?
You are exactly right on that. This is not a policy-oriented campaign at all. It's a personality-oriented campaign, on both sides. It's the, you know, okay, who is Hillary? Can we trust her? What's her personality? What about the Clintons, et cetera, et cetera? It's Bernie, let's look at his age. Let's look at this. He's fired up, excited, and so forth, throwing all kinds of stuff out there. And on our side, it's the same thing. That would work if the world was a safe place right now. That would work if the economy was roaring and we were doing well. But we got serious stuff out there that needs to be addressed, and the next president's going to have to do it. And we really haven't given the American people a real shot at in terms of what they would do. They all deflect the question and talk about personality and entertainment.
Yeah, it's amazing, Senator. Even though I maybe never had this many debates before, and yet so much of the debates, if you did a pie chart, you'd be like, well, they never got to what we want to talk about. Or even when the really serious questions are asked, these candidates are masters at just pivoting and saying, well, I'm just going to answer what I want to say and not even answer your question. I think part of the problem, too, don't you think, Senator, is that so many of these debates have been in front of these like rock concert type crowds. And if you go back and look at the old footage, of course, here in Chicago, we always go back to the Nixon-Kennedy debate. It was in a quiet television studio, so the moderators could ask follow-up questions, and the candidates weren't playing to the back row.
Yeah, you know, and each side brings their contingent of supporters in, and they jump and yell and scream on every answer, and people are weighing, oh, let's see, it was louder for this guy than that guy, so he must have had the right answer, or maybe he's our leader. No, you're exactly right, but as I said, if things were going well in the world, then I think maybe this would be more entertaining, but the fact is that the next president is going to have enormous challenges, and we need to know how they're going to handle them. Now, that deflecting questions, I don't know how many times I have, you know, said to the television watching these debates, and I've been there in person for two of them, and say, he didn't answer the question. He just totally ignored the question, and the media doesn't come back and say, you didn't answer my question. I mean, once in a while they do that, but I hold them a little bit responsible because they don't get an answer to the very question that they asked.
Well, that's a big issue. I mean, that is a gigantic issue when you really have to look at it in the sum total here. It's because we don't get to know about direction, and the markets don't get to know about direction, and our allies don't get to know about direction, and our enemies get to assume the worst about direction. And that's a very, very, very bad calculus when you put it all together, because a guy like Trump, he scares a lot of different contingencies, including the Pentagon, and including the intelligence phalanx. And I know that, Senator, that's a part, that's a very important part of what your work has been in Washington, is dealing with the military and intelligence sectors. And you know, I mean, I hear it, you know, through the people that I know involved in this, through the other boards and places that I sit, that they're concerned. They have actual concerns, and they're not quite sure what to do. You know, a Bernie Sanders, they're a little less concerned about than a Donald Trump, but they're concerned about both of those guys. And they do, they, you know, they much prefer, I know everybody talks about establishment, but they much prefer people that have been there, that know what the real dangers are, and know how to act in, you know, where they've, people who understand the threat matrix, maybe they don't understand every specific of it, but they understand enough of it to be respectful of what we're really up against.
You know, we have two issues that I think rise above all the other issues, not that the others aren't important, but right now we are careening down a fiscal path that is going to have enormous negative consequences on this country, on our economy, and particularly on future generations. If you're thinking about your kids or your grandkids, the amount of debt we've rolled up and the fact that we're just eating up with mandatory programs, all this spending, we're not going to have money for roads or medical research or education or a whole number of things in the future if we don't address this. And secondly, is I call it the fiscal bomb. Then there's the terrorist bomb. What's going on around the world with the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, particularly nuclear weapons? You know, if there had been a nuclear weapon on that plane that hit the tower in New York, we'd be talking about 3 million deaths instead of 3,000. And we see groups out there that are reaching out to possess these kind of weapons and do evil with them, and we're the target. We're not talking about how we address what's happening in the Middle East, how we address what's happening with our military and our intelligence and the threats that are going to be challenging the future of America. And these are serious discussions, which unfortunately we're not having.
No, we're not even close to having them. What we're discussing are these kind of fantasy philosophies on both sides. And again, I go back to, you know, Bernie Sanders, I asked him specifically, you know, how do you end up actually paying for some of this? And then there's the answer is, well, you know, we'll tax Wall Street. Well, Wall Street has an opportunity, and what that means, you tax big business. Big business has an opportunity to go work somewhere else. They don't have, they can change your domain. They don't have to stay in the United States. None of this exists in a vacuum here. And then, you know, and Trump says he's gonna hold Wall Street's feet to the fire. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, even if you raise taxes on the so-called billionaires or multimillionaires that Trump is talking about and Sanders is talking about, even if you raise taxes on them to even say up to 90%, you only touch a fraction of what the problem is with our fiscal situation, because we're talking trillions of dollars of debt here. No one can even comprehend what a trillion means, and we got 19 of them that have to be addressed. And so you can tax all you want. First of all, you're killing business. Secondly, they're going to move, like you said, this is a global economy now. There'll be a lot of countries out there willing to receive these companies. And thirdly, you don't begin to address the problem.
All right. Now, I just want to know if, since, you know, you served for two terms in the United States Senate from Indiana in the 80s into the 90s, then you just served for a term here in the 2010s. What you're done now, right? You're not running for re-election in this cycle.
So, yeah, I'm not quite done yet. I've got a few more months.
But you're done you're done. You've run for your last office, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I have. I left the first time because I pledged to term limits. I was out 12 years. It was a wonderful experience in the private sector, and I was ambassador to Germany for 4 years, which is an amazing experience. Huge experiences, Donald Trump would say. I was asked to come back by the leaders of the Republican Party saying we're trying to take the United States Senate. I was so distressed with where I thought the country was going under this president, particularly plunging into debt, and that was the huge issue back then along with the Obamacare, that I forgot to stop and ask a psychiatrist if I should do it again and said yes. Was reelected. I came back here saying, look, I'm going to just go all out. I'm going to run one term. I'm going to not think about reelection. I'm going to focus every ounce of energy I can on dealing with this debt problem. And along came now the terrorist issues. And as you said, I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and I spend an awful lot of time worrying about
worrying,
trying to
right.
deal with that.
Because you've
situation.
Seen the three-ring binder. Yeah. That's why you're worrying.
Well, Senator, even with all your long and distinguished record, as you're retiring, you know, if Bernie Sanders is elected, he'd still be calling you kid as he goes into his first term.
That's
well,
true.
More power to Bernie. I mean, he sort of kind of scrounged around here for a long time and really didn't make much noise, and all of a sudden he's out there having the time of his life, it looks like. But one thing I will be able to do, I'll be able to be in Wrigley Field more often a year from now. So I'm going to try to hang on through 2016 and looking forward to 2017 when I've got a lot of time to go up there and
It's a good time to go.
What I did before in college was sit in the bleachers. Cost a little bit more now than it did then, but still it's fun out there in that bleachers.
Yeah, it's funny because every time the center would come in for a game back in the day, he's a very efficient man. He'd want to make the media rounds and do the right things, mm-hmm. but he always had to be done by 1:10 so that he was able to make the game. All right, I got to ask you this question, though, and this is a serious one for all Republicans. Will you support the GOP nominee if it's Donald Trump?
Well, as Rubio said, it gets harder every day. But ultimately we're going to have to size up our guy, our guy against their guy or gal. And I just can't picture. First of all, Bernie would bankrupt the country if his policies were put in place, and I don't think he's going to win in the end. I don't know if the country is ready for 8 more years of the Clintons. I mean, it's like a soap opera. They're skirting the law just about every day. There's always some kind of scandal going on. And as you know, her trust factor is very, very low. So I do think whether it involves the Supreme Court or whether it involves all who heads up all the agencies, we don't need 8 more years of the Obama administration going forward. I'm going to support our guy.
Even if it's Donald Trump.
Even if it is. I've been a Rubio supporter, and I'm a Kasich supporter, so it kind of tells you where I am in terms of the guys we have left. But we'll know a lot more tonight. Trump may run the table here on us tonight. So then we're going to have to deal with the process of either supporting our candidate or you know, spinning off to a third party, which isn't going to help any. So it's a tough choice.
Very tough. Senator, thank you very much. And thank you for your service. I mean, I know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been on your show several times, and I've always enjoyed it. It's now Rowan Rich, I guess.
Well, it's for today. It's Rowan.
Well, you keep losing partners here.
He's like radio's version of Nixon, Senator, you know.
Hey, Rich, do you have a backup job waiting?
I do, thank goodness.
He's got three. That's all right. He didn't need this crap. All right, Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, nice talking to you all.
Right, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I am the Elizabeth Taylor of radio talk show hosts.
Oh, man.
Is that right? Is that, yeah, something
sure
like that.
Along with
yeah,
that.
Let's go with that.